Good afternoon or good evening, depending on where you are in Blog Talk Radio Land. And we welcome to our Wednesday call, where every Wednesday we speak about the state of health in the world today. And Dr. Fred Valdez gives us an overview of what that looks like in his world also. And he does research on the topics that we're working on, mainly about essential oils, but we drift off into other topics too and have done so for the last several years. And we'd like to thank him for his research time and you to our audience for listening and continuing to support this show. And today the show is going to be really interesting. It's about summertime. I mean, it's a topic right now that is in the news, and that is skin cancer in summertime, cover up. Make sure you've got your oils on you. Make sure that you're getting so much sun, but not too much, and your children, etc. And he's also going to talk about how some of the essential oils from Zija International, the Mayo division, can benefit. So if you're not familiar with Dr. Valdez, he presently teaches part-time at a medical school that's close to Miami, Florida, and his background is emergency medicine. And he spent many years studying complementary medicine. Within his team are doctors, chiropractors, therapists, alternative health care practitioners, and professional athletes. So on that note, I'll turn the call over to you, Dr. Fred Valdez. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Denise. This is a great topic today because, like you said, you know, we're in the middle of summer, and I know, I don't know about Alberta where you live, but here in South Florida, you know, it's a beach town, it's beach weather. And we have a lot of tourists here that go to the beach. And, you know, we were joking a few days back discussing the topic for the show. Was, you know, I told you how Canadians, very fair-skinned Canadians, come down here. And maybe they have a week vacation or so, and they want to get it all in one day or two or three, all the sun. And that's really one of the worst things you can do. So, you know, the topic of skin cancer is something that affects everyone. And I just wanted to give a little background on skin cancer. Folks, you know, let me just give you some numbers here to put the whole thing into perspective. You know, prostate cancer, this is 2015, prostate cancer, 220,000 cases. Breast cancer, and this is the United States, 234,000. Lung cancer, 221,000. Colorectal cancer, which is a brutal cancer, by the way, 132,000. But skin cancer had 3,500,000. And that is a non-melanoma skin cancer. Those figures are really, really scary. And you know, all the studies and research shows that skin cancer has been on the rise on the last two or three decades. You know, we can't say the same about breast cancer and all that, but skin cancer is on the rise. So, you know, basically, there's three types of skin cancer. Just want to give a brief overview here. You know, the basal cell carcinomas is the most common skin cancer. However, the good news on that is that usually it occurs in places that you can see, your nose, your lip, and so on, your face, your cheek. And, of course, when you see something that doesn't belong there or something that looks suspicious on the skin, we go to the doctor, or most people hopefully do, and it gets treated. And if it gets caught early, like everything else, you know, getting diagnosed at an early stage really, really makes a world of difference. Then the other cancer is called squamous cell carcinoma, and that happens in mucosal tissue, you know, the lips and so on. It affects areas that you usually see, but again, it's usually caught early, and if it's treated and caught early, that's a very, very good, result as far as not getting metastasized and so on. But the bad boy of them all is the melanoma. And one of the problems with melanoma is that it can be fatal. Now, melanoma, let me just read you some numbers here with melanoma for 2015, folks. In 2015 in the States, there were 76,380 cases of melanoma. It affects mostly men, like most diseases. 46,870 were men, and 29,510 were women. Out of that group, here's the drum roll figure, it's a sad figure, 10,130 people died from melanoma. Now, melanoma, one of the problems is early diagnosis. Sometimes the melanoma happens in your back or in the back of the thigh, in back of the leg. So it's non-visible on daily inspection when you look into the mirror. And also it can be asymptomatic. It may not have any symptoms for a while until it's too late. And then when the cancer metastasizes, it's real bad. It usually metastasizes, you know, to the nearest area. In many cases, if it's not your back, it could be the bone, the spinal column, and so on. So that is one of the bad boys of melanoma. And, you know, just for educative purposes, I like to just give a little overview of melanoma. And we look at what's called the ABCD of melanoma. And for anyone that's listening, you know, it's something you should look at. Of course, anything that looks suspicious, and I want to say that right up front, you should have it checked. Go to your dermatologist, go to your primary physician, and have it checked. Anything that looks suspicious. But a melanoma, that's a guide that we use. It's called ABCD. And A stands for asymmetry. So, you know, it's a mark that doesn't have symmetrical ends. You know, if it's not a perfect round, then that's very suspicious. The B is the borders. You know, the borders of the tumor are not even, of the spot are not even, okay? And then the C is for color. Many times melanomas will not have the same color. There's going to be one area that's more red with another area that's a little bit darker. So, you know, color. And D is a diameter. You know, they're usually big. Melanomas are big, okay? So those are something that you need to consider as far as, you know, skin cancer, the ABCDs. And treatment. Now, you know, if you're on the beach in the sun, you know, here are some of the things that will make you more, you know, you need to be more aware if you sit in one of these categories. If you have natural blonde or red hair, you know, many times I wonder, you know, how many blondes are natural. But that's what they say, you know, if you're a natural blonde or natural red hair, you're more prone to all skin cancers. If you have freckles, you definitely are more prone to skin cancers. If you spend a lot of time outdoors, obviously, to the sun, you're more prone to skin cancer. If you have a history of skin cancer before, okay, and that's a biggie right there. If you live and travel in hot climates, or if you live in high altitude, you know, there was a study showing that people who live in Denver, for example, have a higher incidence of skin cancer, even though it's not a beach town. But Denver, you get a lot more exposure to UV rays from the sun because Denver, of course, we call it the mile-high city for a reason because it's a mile above sea level. If you take that, there are some medications that make you more sensitive to light. For example, millions of people take aspirin as prevention for heart problems, right? The baby aspirin dose. Well, you know, aspirin thins your blood out, and that's exactly what it's supposed to do as far as your heart issue. But by doing that, it makes you more sensitive to sunlight. If you've had a lot of sunburns and you burn before tanning, in other words, you get burned very fast, yeah, you should be aware that that's a high risk. And if you have a condition that lowers your immune system, if you have other diseases like, you know, even diabetes, if you have hepatitis, something like that, absolutely, you're more prone to have skin cancers if you're exposed to the sun. Family history of cancer, obviously, and you know, if you have a lot of moles or large, irregular shaped areas in the skin, freckles in the skin, you should be a lot more aware. So, you know, skin cancer is something that affects, like I said, a large number of people. Now, you know, what are the things you can do? You know, of course, we think of the sun factor creams that we have. And, you know, over the years, you know, as Denise, you probably know from my previous stories, I'm actually a beach bum, so to speak. I grew up on the beach down here, you know, old surfer, going surfing in South Beach here in Miami. And so, you know, I was hanging around the beach pretty much all the time. And over the years, way back in my years in high school, I remember there was one suntan oil. It was no protection. It was copper tone. It was just an oil that helped you tan faster. But I think that evolved over the years as we, you know, get educated and study more and more, and we learn about more about cancers and all that, that now they have sun protection factor creams and so on. But recent studies have shown, because, you know, I saw them go up to sun protection factor 5, and, ooh, that was a great discovery many years ago. And then they increase it to 10, and then 15, and 20, and so on. I've seen it up to 65. well, studies have shown that anything past 30 is actually useless. The highest you should go, as far as the sun protection, sunscreen, is sunscreen factor 30. And of course, always look at the expiration date, because that's one product that when it expires, it will not do you any good. And also it should be used to cover the arms, legs, neck and face, and so on. Don't forget your ears. You know, anything that sticks out, your nose, your ears, your hands, your feet, on the arms, and so on. And then more often, if you're in and out of the water, because when you go in the water, a lot of the screens, you know, they get dissolved in the salt water. So you come back out and you lost a lot of protection. So sun factor 30-something, and that is, by the way, recommended by the American Cancer Society. All that said, as far as the background on sunscreens, what else can we do? You know, what else can we do to prevention? Well, you know, all the things are absolutely wise. And, you know, in this day and age, I'm careful when I go out to the sun, when I go to the pool, when I go to the beach, I ride my bike. I used to ride it without a shirt. But, you know, now I put a T-shirt on for protection and so on, because, you know, it's a long-term exposure to the sun. And it, as you know, Benice, it does get hot, and the sun is very bright in South Florida. Now, there's a lot of research with essential oils. And as you said, Denise, we have been doing this show very, very, very often on essential oils, with some exceptions. We talked about nutrition and so on. But and there's a reason for that. And the reason is that the paradigm has totally been broken and changed on essential oils. Essential oils have been used for thousands of years. But in the last 10 or 15 years, there's a lot of studies that were done that actually give us a lot of evidence-based knowledge on the benefits of essential oils in a lot of different health situations. So that totally changed the paradigm. And I always say this, and every time we talk about oils, and this is a business end, but it just gives you an idea of where essential oils are today. A market research firm recently published a paper saying that the essential oil industry worldwide is projected to reach, I think it's 62, I forget the exact number, $62.4 billion, with a B, dollars in sales by the year 2019. What that tells you is that, you know, many, many, many companies are rushing to get in the bandwagon here, because they know the market and they know where the market is going to go with essential oils. So there's no question that essential oils are not only here to stay, but they are going to grow tremendously in the next few years. And then, of course, the question that follows, and I'm going to mention something that on this show today that, you know, it's a fact. It's a published fact. When I say you need to be careful what essential oil you use, because it may not do you harm, but it may not be what it says it is. And currently, one of the major companies, and this just came out, by the way, one of the major companies, and I won't say the name because we're not in the business of you know, demonizing other companies, but this is a fact and you can look it up. One of the major oldest oil companies around, been around for a long, 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 long time. They have a lot of market exposure. It's currently being investigated by the FDA and the FTC because all they have, for the most part, is perfume quality oils. You know, I've said that many times, that just because it smells good, it doesn't mean that it does what it's supposed to do. By the way, this company is the number one vendor in the world of essential oils, okay? And turns out that they are not therapeutic-grade essential oils, okay? They're kind of a perfume-grade essential oils. So be aware of what you use as far as essential oil. Now, when the male division was created of essential oils from a company that we call CJ International, I was very excited. I had already been a part of CJ for 2 or 3 years, and that was based on a lot of the research I did on Moringa oleifera. And it's important, even though we're talking about oil, to take 1 minute or two and give the background on this company, folks. This company was created by a man who's an icon in the wellness industry, a man who has a huge amount of experience, had taken two wellness companies to the billion-dollar level in sales. Only about 20-some companies have reached that level out of thousands in the last 20 or 30 years. He has sold the companies, Russ retired, and he saw a documentary on the Discovery Channel on Moringa oleifera, a tree, a botanical. When he saw the health benefits of that documentary, he decided to sort of get back in the game, and he created Siege International. And that's important to know when we're talking about oils, because what that tells you is who's behind the company. It's a man who's, you know, considered an icon. As a matter of fact, he's called the father of encapsulated herbal supplements. He's a man who actually, the first person who started encapsulating herbal supplements. So, you know, we're talking the who's who in wellness, and he's not going to do anything that's not top rate, first class. And he did the same thing when they opened the Amel division of essential oils. So let's talk real quick about what oils are great for, for skin cancers. And again, folks, and this is a great time here. We always do this. We always comply. FTC requires us to do this. That none of the products we talk about here are meant to treat, diagnose, mitigate, prevent any diseases. But folks, all that said, there's a huge amount of evidence, and it's growing very fast on the health benefits of essential oils. And one of those areas is skin cancer. As a matter of fact, in researching and prepping for the show, I saw a study that was just published 3 weeks ago, not 3 years, not 4 years ago, 3 weeks ago, okay, last June, 4 weeks ago in June, on this oil and skin cancer. And that oil is frankincense. Now, you know, I think we've done a few shows on frankincense and all the benefits that it produces in other areas. But this is fairly recent. And by the way, that study can be found in PubMed.gov. If you type, essential oils and skin cancer, you'll see a ton of stuff there. So frankincense, this is a fairly good, well-done study. So frankincense has shown that it does have an effect on preventing skin cancer and reducing the progress of a cancer by inducing a process called apoptosis, which is the destruction of cancer cells. Now, on the study, they found out that it works very well when it's mixed with other oils. So one example, frankincense mixed with balsam fir, okay, a very, very effective applied to the skin. Recommended every 3 days or so, applied to the skin. Another one was frankincense with lavender. And, of course, we know all the health benefits of lavender essential oil. Well, here's one on skin cancer, folks. Frankincense with lavender, again, I recommend it applied to the area every 3 days. And here's one with frankincense and clove, which this makes the skin burn, the clove does. So you should skip this step for cancer on the face, or at least be extremely careful when you apply clove essential oil on your face, because it does burn your skin. And, of course, as always, avoid eye contact and avoid touching your eyes when you apply this oil. You can actually use a small cotton ball and apply this oil so you don't get it on your hand. You can put gloves on if you want. And then frankincense, and this was very impressive, with sandalwood. Now, sandalwood is one of those oils that is on the more expensive side because it's very, very difficult to obtain. But the frankincense with sandalwood, absolutely repeat the cycle as needed every 3 days, applying to the areas of concern. So, folks, we have something here that's an alternative that now has become pretty much mainstream, and that pretty much that's what happened, Denise, that essential oils are fast becoming something that's mainstream. You know, 30, 40 years ago, perhaps, essential oils were in the fringe. They were something that you heard somebody that used to have an aunt that used it in California, whatever, you know, magic, voodoo, blah, blah, blah. No longer so. No longer so. Essential oils have now become pretty much mainstream because of the clinical trials that have been conducted and the ones that are still conducted. Again, I just mentioned a study that was published back in June, last month, and it's published on PubMed.gov. So that is something that's really, really exciting. Now, the question is, which essential oils? And you know, we mentioned the Amel division of essential oils. And, folks, here's the reason why. I just gave you the what was published in the last few weeks about one of the biggest oil company, essential oil company in the world, being investigated by the FTC and the FDA for not being pure. Our male division of essential oils are the only clinical grade essential oils in the market, period, end of story. And we have published material that proves all that. I won't go into it on the show because there's no time to, but we have published material that proves that. On top of that, we have a vetting process called CERC 5. And those are five steps, and I think we covered those in the last few weeks on previous shows. Suffice it to say, that's a process that really takes every single step of that oil, you know, where it came from, who the vendors are, when were the materials harvested, how were they harvested, were they organic, organically harvested, when were they picked, and so on and so on and so on. It's not just buying lavender from the cheapest vendor somewhere. No, it's getting the top possible materials and raw material at the peak of season when they should be, and so on and so forth. So we have a very exclusive 5 vetting process for the soils. And by the way, every bottle of the male essential oil on the bottom has a number that you can actually even put on the website, and it gives you everything you want to know about that oil. It gives you the history. So it's a totally vetting process. Amil has their own plant, their own scientists, so it's not made by some vendor somewhere in Southern California looking for the bottom dollar and so on and so forth. So, you know, when it comes to that, something that actually works at the cell level, and I always mention that because this is a really, really important fact, something that works at the cell level, something that's going to penetrate the cell and remain in the cell and find out what happens with the cell device and all that stuff, you want it to be the best possible product on the market. So, you know, you can buy essential oils in the flea market, you know, a lot cheaper. Do you know what you're getting in that bottle? Absolutely not. Most likely, I venture to say that in view of the popularity of essential oils, it's a very accurate statement here that I'm saying that you are going to see the market being flooded with cheap oils that don't have to respond to anyone, that don't have a vetting process, that are not exactly pure, that may smell good, but they may not do the function that they're supposed to do. So just be careful when you use an oil. Check us out. Check the Amil Division of Oils. There is nothing like it in the market. And, Denise, that's the show today. If you have any comments, I'll pass the show back to you.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. And not that we're on topic right at the moment about this, but I just wanted to add this because I saw it the other day and it quite disturbed me. I remember as a child, you know, it was very hot summers, very, very sunny, long days, and children had bonnets, what we called bonnets in those days. I'm half British, and, you know, they were covered, and parents made sure they had their lotions on, and they made sure they didn't stay out too much in the sun, and it was very common for children to be covered up. But the other day, I was at the mall, and I was watching people coming in and out, and so many people had their children in their strollers with not even a little hat on, and it's very, very hot here. So I just wanted to mention that if you're a mother or a grandmother or a parent, you know, brother, sister, we can all share in that information with the people that are pushing these strollers around in the sun, and children are very susceptible to the sun.
That's an excellent observation, Denise. You know, let me counter on that and say that, you know, it's a long-term type exposure, and what happens is the UV rays eventually damage your DNA, so it makes your body less resistant to fight things like cancer. So it's not like, you know, you burn real bad and you put something on it and feel better. It's also a long-term effect. It comes from being exposed to UV light. And children's skin are a lot more sensitive, we know that, than adults. So, you know, it has to start early. You know, prevention is always, you know, is my view on things. That's what attracted me to alternative medicine and led me to, you know, be a part of the holistic movement, so to speak. As you mentioned, you know, my background is totally mainstream in medicine. But you know, I always knew that prevention absolutely is far better than treatment. Because once you start treatment, it may be too late or it may be a lot more complicated. And we don't have as many options when it comes to treatment. So prevention is absolutely the best thing. And we have things today that are evidence-based. But frankincense, we're not talking, you know, folklore anymore. We're not talking my aunt's story anymore. No, we're talking major, serious clinical trials that are proven to be, you know, an evidence machine. So, you know, we have a lot of evidence now that showing that it does work, that it definitely works. So it's something I strongly recommend as far as prevention of oils and skin cancer and so on. That's a great comment, Denise. Thank you for adding that.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you for your time and our audience for continuing to support us. We thank you very much. And on that note, we're going to enjoy the sun in moderation and have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.